Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Hap Out Them Cowboys. The D in Big D stands for devastated. It certainly doesn't stand for defense. While on the other side, it stands for a Dolphins delight. Miami seeming super after their biggest win in decades. And then we are going to set the Christmas table. Oh, what a feast we have for the sports fan today. Superstars galore in sports of all varieties. We'll see the king and many more. Let's do this thing on Christmas. It's time to get up starting right now. A very Merry Christmas from our family to yours. RC, looking good and ready to go. How about my mans over here?
Hey, my mans went and spent all the head coaching money on his Christmas outfit.
My wife, Karen, she's put it all out there, all $8 for that tie.
Let's do this thing. Oh, did we have an unbelievable game yesterday afternoon in South Florida, living up to the hype and then some. The quarterback's ready to go. There's Tua getting fired up.
Third.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Here we go. Early first quarter. Jeff, how does Tony Pollard not score?
Gotta have every part of his body except the part that counts, which is the ball, gets in the end zone. You gotta put your foot in the ground, get behind your pads, and score that touchdown.
And why does it matter? Because on the very next play, RC.
This is the fourth time Hunter Lipke touched the football on this drive. Jeff said it earlier on the call. The closer you get to the goal, the more important that ball is, and a little tighter that butt top.
You could have turned the game off right then. You knew they were going to lose when they gave those 7 points away. But in the meantime, here comes CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb was great from the slot. I thought Jalen Ramsey would follow him. This is a huge play, run after the catch. Yes, and this set the tone for the Dallas Cowboys for the rest of the day.
Lamb's seventh straight game with a touchdown. Final seconds of the second quarter, Jeff, and there's Mostert.
Great design. Mostert coming out in the flats, wide open, dumps it off to him, walk-in touchdown.
Leads the NFL with 21 touchdowns on the year. Now, fourth quarter, 10 minutes to play. Cowboys down by six. It's CD again.
CD Lamb again. He's matched up. You get a motion to the outside, so now he's on the third or the fourth defensive back. Great throw by Dak Prescott.
Fourth and two, gotta have it.
Players, not plays. Yeah. Go find your best player, hook him up, put the ball in his hands, get one.
What a drive this was for Dak Prescott. And here's the best play, his play of the day.
This is unbelievable. Yep. He got this man draped on him, stays in the,
like in the Ben Roethlisberger back in the day, a big body still making that completion. Great play by Dak.
This was a 71 play drive. It wasn't actually, but it felt like a fourth and goal. Here's your ball game, RC. We're going to get a flag.
Listen, this is actually the second DPI in a row on DeSean Elliott. Yeah. Now they finally call it. Turpin with a great whip route. This is the touchdown. If he doesn't do this, I would have done the exact same thing, but it gives the Cowboys more chance.
So then we had a sack. Now we got a third down. This is the 17th play of the drive.
This is a great play. We have bad eyes by Jalen Ramsey. Brandon Cooks, who was brought in to be a deep threat, has shown he can be absolutely more. Goes up, high points the ball, but what a dime and a drive by Dak Prescott.
That was his MVP resume reel, it was for Dak, but then he needed his defense to close the deal, and they couldn't do it. Tua, Achan, plus the foul.
Listen, when you look at what Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel did on this drive, they went to the screen game. Damone Clark with an obvious face mask. Yep. They get the 15 yards, but it showed that Mike McDaniel knew how to dial up the exactly right thing in the right moment.
Here's third down, and that's Tyreek Hill.
Again, players not play. Get it to the best ball handler you have. Let him go complete this drive, extend the plays, make it happen.
Now, here's the game. A minute 42 to go. Cowboys have no timeouts. The Dolphins pick up that third down, and you'll see the reaction from Mike McCarthy. He knows exactly why, because now Miami can just let the clock tick down. Jason Sanders had made three kicks of 50 yards or better on the day.
Good.
That won his fifth field goal of the day, and it ends it.
Count them, baby.
Is it a whole head?
All the shoulders.
All the fingers.
Dolphins get the win. Cowboys, despair.
This is completely on everybody, one that sucks, but definitely took a step, I guess you can say, from obviously last week's game, getting some points. playing a hell of a team here on the road. It sucks. We hate to lose. Nobody's taking any more victories from this.
Number one, it was a juggernaut game. We got to play better than we did today because, you know, you have to play above it on the road. And, you know, road warriors we will be.
We'll explain a little later that very likely will be road warriors, very likely would have been whether they won yesterday or not. We'll get into the actual consequences of the game. But let's start with my favorite question. Was yesterday for the Cowboys a bad game or a bad sign?
Bad sign. Listen, when Dak Prescott takes this hour and a half long drive down, they take the lead. You have the lead. Your defense can't be any fresher. Yeah. Fourth quarter, they can't be any fresher. It's time to close the game out. Micah Parsons, Armstrong, you name it. Go all the way across the board. Somebody's got to close this game out. Doesn't happen. Miami drives it all the way down. You saw it. Closes out on that two-yard run to get it to be able to wind the whole thing down. They got to figure when it's a must-have. They don't have it, and that's the problem.
Greeny, also, too, I want you to do the same thing you were doing for Josh Allen a few weeks ago. You were jumping around. You were doing memorandums. what's the word? Down barrel.
Yeah, down
barrel. Everything you could possibly do to say that Josh Allen did all he could to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, that's what you should be doing for Dak Prescott.
Yes.
That drive was his MVP drive, as Jeff already said. And when you look at what Dak was able to do in that moment to put a team up that's supposed to be best defensively when they have a lead. This was supposed to be a team that was built like Jeff's old Colts, right? We're going to get up on teams and we're going to rush the passer and you will be suffocated. The Dallas Cowboys didn't do that. And to me, the most disappointing part of that drive is those last two runs, everybody in America knows that the Miami Dolphins are going to run the football. Dallas Cowboys couldn't stop it. That's a problem.
Absolutely.
When a team can impose their will on you the way that the Miami Dolphins did in that moment, that's an issue. That's an issue that lasts in the playoffs. That's an issue that doesn't allow you to be a road warrior. And the thing you take away from these two games is offensively, you did everything that you were supposed to do. You found a way to get right after a loss. Defensively, you did not.
Yep.
And so going into the next week, going into the playoffs, there are still question marks about this team. And truly, they're the same old Dallas Cowboys. We spent the entire offseason talking about how they'd be different, that they'd be a physical run team, that they'd be a team on defense that could get stops when it mattered. No, they're not. They're a team that camouflages that at home by blowing out teams they can bully. But so far on the road against good football teams, we haven't seen them come through.
I agree with you completely. Let's focus in more on that defense and not getting that stop. Rex is usually with us on Mondays.
Yeah.
And he would be losing his mind
losing
today.
It.
You want to say you're a great defense? Well, those aren't the 85 Bears. Rex would say that for sure.
Right.
One stop. One play. Aaron Andrews is talking about DeMarcus Lawrence came out like, you know, with his head on fire.
Yeah.
And you could see the intensity on their faces.
Yeah.
They need to make one play to win the game, and they can't do
it. So you needed to make one play. You know, Eric, I don't know if we have the tape of the Tyreek Hill play.
We have it.
But if you look at early on in this game, right, we were looking at playing zone because they didn't want to take the top off of the defense. And so we saw Tyreek Hill in cover two. He's able to find the spot.
Yep.
We saw Tyreek Hill. He was in quarters, and he got a spot. So here, right, you're going to see early on in the game. This is not what the Dallas Cowboys do. They're going to play a cover two defense, so they're sitting in too high. They're going to allow Tyreek Hill to get an intermediate route. Why? Because at this point of the game, we understand it's about keeping the top on the defense. You're going to see later on in the game, they're going to go to a quarters coverage. Tyreek Hill is going to sit it down in between Deron Bland and also in between Wilson. Why is he doing this? Donovan Wilson is going to be inside. Tyreek Hill is going to find a way to get there and make a catch. What happens when it's crucial time, right?
Yeah.
What happens when it's a critical football moment? You go to man-to-man. So right now, Tua Tagovailoa is telling Tyreek Hill, I need you to move. I need you to get in motion. And as he gets in motion, let's watch Jordan Lewis come with him. Jeff knows this signifies man-to-man.
Yep.
The first thing you're going to think is sprint out. So when he's thinking sprint out, now you're going to think, Jordan Lewis, I need to get over the top of Stephon Gilmore. Now we have a cluster fluff right here, which is going to allow Cotton to get out, seal Jordan Lewis, and Tyreek Hill gets inside for the first down. Mike McDaniel understood that no matter what they decided to do the entire day defensively, that when it mattered most, the Dallas Cowboys would revert back to who they were, and he put a play with a motion and a finish that could take advantage of that.
That is so well done, and quite a risque choice of words there, but you made it work.
I got nervous for you.
Yeah,
I got nervous for you.
But so, again, at the bottom line of it is this, and the explanation is outstanding in whether they're getting a little bit fooled, and maybe that goes to Mike McDaniel being just an outstanding offensive mind, all the rest of that. Someone just needs to make one play. This is supposed to be a team that is led by its defense. It's supposed to have Micah Parsons, who's the most dominating individual
Lawrence
defensive
the
player
edge.
In the sport. Why can't they make the one play?
That's the question they're asking themselves this morning, right? Because if you look at it, you talk about my old teams, right? When you got the lead, you pinned your ears back. They got five who can do it, not just two. They got five dudes who can go rush the passer, right? But for some reason, when it's time to close out, they aren't to be found. And whether it's third and two to this hill, when he goes man-to-man, it's the easiest block in the business, right? The lineman's going to go up, chip a guy, they're going to go get the first down. But the conversions that they're getting to extend drives depletes this defense. And you saw as that drive was going on, you saw them beginning to look at each other. Man, who's going to be the guy to make bait? Who is going to be the guy? And that has to be the question, right? When you don't know who the guy that's going to answer it, everybody looks to someone else to make the play, and nobody's stepping up and doing it.
And the other thing is this, too. Look at what the Miami Dolphins did. They didn't drop Tua Tagovailoa back.
No.
They got the football out of his hands.
Yeah.
They made the Dallas Cowboys become pursuers, not attackers.
That's right.
They made them react. And so that's Mike McDaniel understanding what he's facing in Dan Quinn's defense. We saw them close out against the Seattle Seahawks, but that was also a game that had to score 30-plus points in order to be in at home. Dak Prescott does the exact same thing for you. We've asked Dak Prescott to become a difference maker.
Yes.
And we watched him last week be under siege by the Buffalo Bills. He did what he was supposed to do in this game. And so now his defense, who with Michael Parsons, who the entire year has been applauding Dak's effort, has been saying that Dak's an MVP. But now we need to see who is truly the most talented person on this team make a play.
Yeah.
And his coach has to put him in position to do this. And so now when you do look at the Dallas Cowboy resume, here is the thought. When it gets tight on the road, when somebody has to make a play, who is it going to be? Because right now, we have no evidence that defensively they have that person.
And let me say this about Dak's performance, right? Because and I know you're making fun about what you said about Josh Allen a few weeks ago and he's carrying this thing. Think about the plays that he makes in that final drive.
Yeah.
Guys draped on him, still putting the ball out there, still making play after play, getting causing penalties because of plays they're calling. And then when you flip it, if you walk off the field with that lead and you're Dak Prescott in that defense, you're thinking, chalk this one up.
Yes.
We got it. We're moving on, right? We're moving on. We've done what we need to do. And then you watch your defense go down. And by the way, this isn't they got scored on. They took you down to 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So they ate up they did exactly what Mike McDaniel told them. Don't go score quick. Let's go little by little and slow bleed this team until we can get the final kick to walk off. And don't give Dak another shot at it, right? Don't give the MVP another shot at it. We'll close this thing
up. To the point that you made, Dak Prescott walked off that field with 3 minutes left, the MVP of the league.
Yes.
Yeah. He comes in this morning, and I'll do a down barrel. I'll write it up. Hembo, send me notes. And I'm sitting
there.
Dak Prescott was the MVP. And then, boom, the defense happens. Let's go back to something else, though. All the way back to the beginning of that highlight. And I, you know me, I'm the most pessimistic person in the world. When I don't know how in the world Tony Pollard didn't score a touchdown on that play at the beginning, and then they're handing the ball off to this guy.
Hunter Lipke.
Lipke.
Household name.
And then, so how does he not score? First of all, why does he not go outside on that play?
Here's the issue. The Dallas Cowboys' best red zone back now resides in New England.
I get it.
And that's Ezekiel Elliott. But in the offseason, I ask you, when we were talking this Mike McCarthy, 3 yards in the cloud of dust, and everybody was like, Ryan, that's not what it's going to be. I said, I understand this, but in order to be led by the run game, you have to have a runner that can tote it. You have to have a runner that can get some sort of physical yardage, and they can't do that. It was the perfect play. Listen, that I ran that in high school. That is 19. That is 19 here. You do not block Bradley Chubb. He is going to be the pitch man. When I get to him, I pitch it. Tony Pollard, you run 4-3. Oh, crap. I'll run everybody else on that side. Period. That's what I'm asking you to do.
What I mean,
but it's about physicality.
Right.
You heard Jeff said, put your foot in the ground.
At some
point, you got to get behind your pads. And if you have Deshaun Elliott running sideways, run through him.
Yeah, bro.
Run through him.
Siler
should not be able to get the pursuit because I should be going for this pylon. You got to beat me there. You got to be more physical than I am. But it's the same team.
Yeah.
There, it. I don't want to see
well,
it.
Listen, if you...
It's freaking front runners.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I'm sorry. It's like, when it's really good,
yeah.
It's fun. Like, if they wobble you in the first round, boy, they're going to pick you apart the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But if they realize, oh, hell, I'm going to have to block some of these haymakers at some point, they don't like it like that.
And here's the thing. Micah Parsons can be like, y'all want us to lose. We don't want you. We want you to win this game.
Right.
It's a whole lot more fun to come up here on Christmas
morning. It's better for us.
About the Cowboys winning than right now talking about the reasons they don't win.
Look at me. Do I look like a man who's happy they lost? Okay, so here's my question. Because the two games, they've lost three monster games that we've talked a lot about. Yeah. I'm not going back to San Francisco. The Buffalo game, they got blown out, the Cowboys, right? A week ago, they just got their doors blown off. The Philly game in this game, it is literally inches and seconds, right? Both times, it's inches and seconds. It's Dak steps just out of bounds.
Right. Yep.
It's the tight end, Schoonmaker, was it? His butt falls down in the end zone, but the ball isn't in. It happens exactly that way again, and you just know those things always happen to them. It can't be a coincidence.
No, this is a habit.
It's a habit.
Yeah, this is a habit. This is who they are. They're almost good enough.
Yeah.
And like, let's be honest, that's a lot of what they've been in recent history.
Yeah.
They've been almost good enough. Like, they've been good enough to get to the divisional round, good enough to get to the wild card round, good enough to be a spike away getting a field goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's who this team has become. But for so long, we were blaming it on the quarterback. We were saying that the quarterback and the coach didn't show up, and because they were the offensive juggernaut, they were the offensive leaders.
Yeah.
Well, they showed up this time.
Yeah.
And you have to win when they do.
I will say this, because we brought up the fumble on the half-yard line. You were like, hey, the game's over, right? That was your first thing. When I saw that happen, let me just tell you, though, because that was a four-touch right on that drive.
Yep.
And what happens when you get to the line, when it's fourth and one and you're on the 49-yard line, okay, there's some pressure, but like you're going to get there, right? You get the yard, everybody gets happy. If you don't, you know, it's like, okay. But when you're on the half yard line, there is a level of intensity and anxiousness that goes up. So the exchange between Dak and the running back happens faster.
How many reps does that guy get in practice, though?
Maybe they may have hit it six times during the week, right? Because you don't run that play, right? I mean, you're making a joke about it, but like Tommy Boy said it, right? It's like 32 belly dive option, right? Like it's peewee, bro. Like it's the first thing you learn. And the kid's sitting back, he's got his arm like this, right? And he just shoots in the gap, gets it and scores, right? So everybody in football understands the play. But the handoff, the timing of all that is just different. And it speeds up. And you see, you know, disaster. And for guys like you, you're like, game's over.
Right?
I mean, it's this is what we are.
But that's the thing, though. To their credit, it wasn't over, though, Green.
Yeah, they battled.
Like they continue to fight. And honestly, when you look at what they did defensively, they forced field goals.
Yeah.
They kept the top on the defense. You know, Tyreek had the one drop that could have been a big one.
Right.
And then Jalen catches the one on Gilmore, but they kept the top on the defense. It was just, now it's time to be great.
Right.
Like, those are the times that defenses become legendary. Like, there are good defenses or defenses that are very good, but it's in those moments when you walk out with your hand in the air, when Dak Prescott runs on the field saying that this is who you are supposed to be, those are the moments that you are made and you become a defense that is different, that you become the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. The teams he played on, right? Like when you, as an offense, when you walked out there knowing that situation, you were tight offensively.
Yes.
The Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel were not tight.
Nope.
And you saw that by their play call, by the motions, by the zips, by the yo-yos, all the different things they're doing to see, are they in man? There was no concern. They felt like they could move the ball on this team and figure, when you're going against those defenses, you're praying to God somebody doesn't come off the edge and kill your quarterback.
Because you're reacting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're bringing something to us, man. Like, this noise is going to be brought. That is a completely different mindset than what I saw last night to finish that thing.
Well, one of the things we're going to have to talk about. And look, Micah Parsons is a spectacular player. I love watching him play, and I like his attitude. I like all of the moxie about him.
He's a dude, bro.
He's a dude.
Monster. He's a player.
But he has not been getting pressure on the quarterback the way that we have become accustomed to. We'll talk about him. Let's make sure we mention in here, and we will have all morning long to get into this because the folks in South Florida are yelling, hey, how about us?
Ooh.
You know what Super Bowl teams look like. Did you see one on that side of the field yesterday?
Absolutely. This is what the Dolphins needed to do to prove not only to their fans but to themselves. When it's all on the line, we got what it takes to get there. And listen, you can say whatever you want. The Cowboys offensive line gave up some pressure to Chubb they shouldn't have, but their defense did. over 40% pressure rate on Dak Prescott. Then flip it over when the drive mattered. They drive that thing down there, finish it with 2 seconds left, yeah, and a field goal to walk it off. That's a big-time drive.
The two names, Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
We needed to see them in this moment.
That's a great point.
Tua Tagovailoa now healthy throughout the entire season in a moment where the opposing quarterback has made big plays for his football team. Does he get tight? Does he fold? Does he get scared? Oh. Not at all. And Mike McDaniel reverted back to his fundamentals and his foundation,
yeah,
which was to still motion, which was to still take chances,
yeah,
which was to still analyze the other side of the football field and dial up the correct plays.
Yep.
I thought this was a big moment and step forward for the Miami Dolphins.
100%. All right, we are just getting started on this Christmas morning. Hope you're enjoying opening up the gifts this morning.
Ooh.
And talking sports. Much more on this game, including Micah Parsons angry. Will you hear who he's angry at? We will have a reaction to that. Plus, the Steelers Saturday night shocker was the solution to all their problem, actually just sitting on their bench all along. RC's got a lot to say, so do I, so do we. We're getting started here. It's Get Up on Christmas on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Letterkenny. Final season, December 26th, streaming only on Hulu.
Christmas Day game is always a sense of pride.
Biggest stage, honor to be a part of.
You know, so many people are watching. You want to be at your best.
I appreciate y'all allowing me to play on Christmas once again. Love, love, love.
Here's what we've got under the tree today. Look at the star players who'll be mic'd up on this Christmas Day. Dame Lillard and Steph and Jamal Murray, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, Tyrese Maxey, Jimmy Butler, Luka Doncic will all be wearing microphones on ESPN and ABC. Enjoy all the hoops. Meanwhile, as we continue in a moment, Micah Parsons not enjoying at least one aspect of yesterday's game. Wait till you hear who he's mad at. We'll tell you next.
Hi. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. If the Cowboys lose, you know we need to hear this.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, to all you Cowboy fans, didn't I tell you?
Dude.
Oh my goodness.
What a present
Merry
for
Christmas.
Him.
Yeah.
And look at the
happy
hat.
New Year. Y'all have arrived just in time. Right when I'm about to open my Christmas present. You never.
That's not even a cowboy hat. It's a Crocodile Dundee hat.
I was going to say something like Aussie hat,
Merry
right?
Christmas.
I mean, it's
a beauty.
It is performance art at its very best. So Stephen A. was in a very good mood. Let's talk about someone who was not in a very good mood after the game, and that would be Micah Parsons. End of the first half, 26 seconds remain. The ball's on the 9. Micah Parsons get called for roughing on this play. This was one of two, I thought, terrible roughing calls in this game. Here was Micah after the game on the officiating.
We're fighting with our back against the wall. A lot of penalties. I mean, it's mind-blowing, the things that's getting called and the positions we get put in. I mean, the thing is, we just got to learn how to fight the adversity. I know a lot of it's BS, and we're like, this is football plays, and these is, but it's the world we live in. We got the star on the helmet.
Look, he was still upset a while later. You can see that he posted on Instagram a few hours afterwards. Free me, dog.
Blocking at its best, baby.
Whatever I did to the officials, I'm sorry.
Free me, dog.
To be clear, that's holding, right? I mean, even Jeff. So look, he feels the officiating was a part of this. What say you?
No. You're going to get held. Let me just help you with the hierarchy of the NFL in case anybody's confused. They don't care about defensive linemen getting held, okay? Like, I played in the league 14 years. I held every play and every offensive lineman. And if you ain't holding, you don't got a job. So just recognize every offensive lineman's going to hold, right? And we're going to put our hands inside. Mm-hmm. We're going to steer the car. We're going to do all those things. So if you go complain about a call, you're never going to get that call. But the roughing the passer that you guys say, I'm just going to tell you, they are the Cowboys. This is a massive game. If you don't think the NFL realizes the day, the time, and these referees, you put your forearm in the back of a quarterback after that step without pulling up like this, they're going to throw that flag, man, every
time. And also, be very clear, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
It's a huge game.
It's huge.
It's Tua Tagovailoa, who we watched have one of the worst head injuries on national TV.
Yep. Yeah.
And so they are going to call it a little close. But you also look at the Christian Wilkins roughing the passer. That was also another play that I didn't necessarily believe was a roughing the passer. And so when you look at this game and Micah Parsons, I understand that he's worried about the officiating. What he should be worrying about is the run defense.
Yep.
And so should Dan Quinn. I call this the Dallas Cowboys defensive dilemma. Here we're going to watch Micah Parsons play the run from the line of scrimmage. They are a totally different team when he's on the line of scrimmage. Now, here you see Micah Parsons at the defensive end. We're going to get Ingold in motion. He's going to come back and seal him off after Cedric Wilson goes to the other side. Micah Parsons either needs to spill this and run wrong arm it or use his hands to get off of the block and not allow Mostert to run down the seam of the defense. Now you're going to see him get reached on this play. They're going to out leverage him. You're going to bump him with Smythe. Look at the way that he's been reached here right away. This allows the Miami Dolphins to get to the second level. Now watch the difference when he's off the ball. Damone Clark is now moved to the outside, which is smart because they don't change personnel to do it. Look how quick he diagnoses this play. He's already going downhill before Tua Tagovailoa even allows or lets him know where the ball is going. He splits the double team. It's a tackle for loss. Now watch this. This is beautiful. You're going to get the same lineup. Damone Clark on the outside. It's a toss. Micah Parsons beats the center's block before the ball leaves Tua Tagovailoa's hands. He's already past the guy that's supposed to block him on the second level. Watch him flatten out and then get on the end of the play. As Donovan Wilson makes the stop, they're a different team. So Dan Quinn is going to have to make a decision on first and second down. Is it worth Micah Parsons missing a couple or 10 rushes in order for us to be a better run defense? Because if you watch the last 2 weeks, they get ran through like poo-poo through a
goose. Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure I didn't say nothing.
You did it fine.
Right, and so when you look at that, like they have to make a change.
Yeah.
It's worth a reminder. He was an off-the-ball linebacker in college. That's what he was drafted to be. That's why he fell so far in the draft, because he was viewed as playing a non-premium position. Then he came into the league and he became the best pass rusher in the sport.
Let me just bring up a point that from my perspective as an offensive lineman on that tape. Micah Parsons' alignment at Mike linebacker, he's like 4 yards from the line of scrimmage. So when he diagnoses things that quickly, as an offensive lineman, you can't recover. Like you said, he had beat the toss over the top because he's so close, he's using other offensive linemen as obstacles that guys can't get through. And the difference for that is when the other guys come in, they're at 5.5 to 7 yards. So now everything can develop in front of him. His ability to get in there, and even if he doesn't make the play, he causes so much havoc and chaos that somebody else can make the play. That's the difference from him being a stand-up guy in the middle of the defense as opposed to a guy on the
And also, too, like you have to be real. When you're watching this team defend or try to defeat blocks at the second level without Michael Parsons, those dudes get driven back to the safety.
On skates.
And so at some point, you got to have some sort of physicality and intimidation on that level. And Michael Parsons, just by simply lining up there, does that.
Absolutely.
Right? Like when you watch a lot of the other Mike linebackers, they're 5 to 6 yards, right? Yeah. They need to see things unfold in order to attack. He doesn't need that. And part of that may be playing on the line of scrimmage. And so I think that Dan Quinn is going to have to play this great game of double dutch with knowing whether or not Michael Parsons needs to be on the line or off because it changes who they are.
And the other part of Michael Parsons be on the edge when he got reached in the tape that he just did. When he gets reached like that, you're giving up the edge of the defense. If you're at that position, he has to know. His coaching point is you can't give up that. You have to set that. You hear people say it all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a cliche in football, but it is as real as it gets because once that's softened, the yardage comes in droves. What he does is he never steps up to stop anything. He's like reading because he's going to try to transition into being a linebacker.
Yeah.
That's not how good ends play it. They get up the field a yard. They set their feet. They set the edge. They bowl their neck. They get in there. But if you're thinking about pass rush or transitioning to that every time, it makes a very soft
For instance, there's a play DeMarcus Lawrence makes last night where he takes two or three offensive players who are trying to block him, and he just sets the edge by driving into the backfield. That's the defensive end mindset against the run, and Micah hasn't quite gotten to that point yet, but he's great as a middle backer.
Well, I wrote this down. He needs to spill that and wrong arm it. In the break, you'll explain to me what that means. In the meantime, let me give you a statistic because this is the reality of it. Yesterday, do you know how many times they pressured Tua Tagovailoa? 13% of his dropbacks. You say to yourself, what does that mean? In the games the Cowboys have won this year, they've averaged pressuring the quarterback on 42% of the dropbacks. So for whatever reason, they just didn't get pressure on him. Now, part of that is the they get rid of the ball so freaking fast.
It's why he's healthy.
It is unique.
It's why he's healthy.
It's special, right? Yeah. That's great coaching and great everything.
But that's how you beat this team. But you also beat this team by running at number 11 when he's at defensive end. That's the dilemma. Do you take away one of the game's best pass rushers in order to protect your defense from a physical standpoint in the run game?
You can't pressure nobody when they're running down your throat.
Can't
pressure nobody. You don't pressure that way.
And that is why yesterday, look, that game meant a lot more to the Dolphins than it did to the Cowboys, you will let me explain. The Dolphins are desperately trying to hold off Buffalo, who is charging hard from the outside. They don't want to let that last game of the season be for the division. They can now wrap it up if they win next week. For the Cowboys, if the Eagles don't lose one of their two games against the Giants, then the Cowboys weren't going to win the division anyway. If the Eagles do lose one of their two games to the Giants, the Cowboys are going to win the division anyway. The bottom line of it is, outside of San Francisco, I still think Dallas could play any of the other teams in the NFC, and they could beat them regardless of where the game is played.
Yes, I do not disagree with that, but they have to start proving that as well, because at this point it does seem they're going to go on the road.
You're looking at this the wrong way. It's not can they. It's will they.
Right.
And the problem is they could lose all of those
games. Of course.
They could play the Rams the first week and get walked off.
Well, look, if there's one thing that the Cowboys have proved, it's that they can lose any game, anytime, anywhere. All right. The annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition continues today. We got five star-studded matchups. We got the Bucks and Knicks from the Garden, noon Eastern. We got Golden State against the defending champs. Celtics, Lakers, Sixers, Heat, Mavs, Suns. It all begins with NBA Countdown live 11 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN. As we continue, the Saturday night shocker was the solution to all the Steelers' struggles just sitting on their bench. We will weigh in, and then the huge day of holiday hoops. Big Perk, Santa Perk, dare I say, is here with a Christmas wish list for LeBron and KD and Embiid. He's on the way. It's Get Up on Christmas on ESPN. Back on Get Up, our next stop is Pittsburgh, where the Steelers dismantled the Bengals on Saturday thanks to 195 yards and a pair of touchdowns from the much maligned George Pickens. So the Steelers improved their record to 8-7, and they've got an outside shot at making a playoff run in the jam-packed AFC. But that was a statement game, I think, on a variety of levels after the week, more than just 1 week of just tumult, that team and that player in particular and their coach had been through. And RC, you and I were talking about it on Friday. Let's start with Mason Rudolph, who came off the bench. What did he do?
Mason Rudolph saved the season. Like, honestly, Mason Rudolph was the adjustment that this team needed. We thought it was Matt Canada, but when you look at what he was able to do last night, it starts right away with the second play of the football game. You have the slant to George Pickens, but people are going to see this and not understand. You have to put this football right where you need it to be in order to get yards after the catch. Here, it's a simple check down to Jaylen Warren, but he starts up top. He gets right back to his check down. Now, this is the play to me of the game. He scrambles outside the pocket. He can slide right here. He knows his team's in peril. He fights through three men for the first down. And this is a great play. It's 3rd and 1. You have 10 people from the hash to the top of the sideline. He sees George Pickens one-on-one, and he makes the perfect throw. I felt like Mason Rudolph played the way you're supposed to play when you're playing with house money.
Yeah.
When you know that you're the third man, it's your opportunity to make a play or not, and the two dudes that played before you ain't played well at all.
Yeah.
But this also says a lot about Mike Tomlin. There were changes in the offensive philosophy. There were changes in the way that they played defense. We saw much more cover two buster zone, and they also brought more blitz in this game and gotta have it third downs. I thought this was an adjustment of energy, an adjustment of attitude, and a great answer to all the questions of last week.
I found it devastating, to be completely honest with you. After all the flirtation that I had going with Mike T,
he wanted me to airdrop his digits.
He was going
to
hit my line and all that kind of stuff. And then
Rodgers jersey.
He goes out there and he plays. His team plays great on Saturday. No way he's leaving. Do I think it's a coincidence that the following day the owner of the Jets said, "Oh, my coach is coming back next year"? No, I don't. I
think they were waiting on the Steelers to lose.
Would have been mine. I would have had it. It was that close.
I will say this. I talked to someone in the building, and the one thing they said a lot of what I said was right, but they said the one thing is they could never see Mike Tomlin coaching in another jersey.
Agreed.
And that's what that man means in that building.
Yeah.
Agreed. Listen.
What did that mean? What did that say about him and about this team, whatever the rest of their season holds?
It's them versus the world. And he knows how to bring a group of men together, lock them in, and go, hey, everybody's counting you out, right? Whether it's Pickens, he's getting him, whether it's Rudolph, you name it. Whatever player it is, these are the 53 we're going in, men.
Yeah.
Let's go make it happen, right? Division opponent, don't matter. Here's what we got to go do. And when they started fast, and the great part about RC's tape was three of those plays by Rudolph, third downs.
Yep.
Third and shorts, third one. But the conversion rate, right? The extending drive, all the things that you've been looking for Pittsburgh to be able to do to take the pressure off the defense. And then you see what they do. Those 11 points, and then, not even really 11
points. And then this goes back to, as well, drafting and acquiring correctly.
Yeah.
Because you draft Kenny Pickett, and I'm not saying Kenny Pickett isn't the answer, but he hasn't been the answer yet. And you play Mr. Trubisky over Mason Rudolph because you go out and get him in free agency.
Right.
They're gonna have to start making decisions inside the Pittsburgh Steelers building like they used to. The best player at the best time when he's supposed to be there.
Yeah. Does anyone else see like a TV movie here 2 days before Christmas, how Rudolph saved the season?
Yeah. I like it.
Anyone else think that that's a coincidence? All right, we got one more huge, huge game coming your way tonight. Here, it'll be on ABC. We got McCaffrey and Purdy and the NFC leading 49ers taking on Lamar and the AFC leading Ravens. Monday Night Football, 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN Deportes and ESPN Plus. That's part of a huge Christmas Day that, of course, includes all the NBA action. And for that, we bring in a special guest.
What's up, my good people? It's yours truly, Santa Perk. First up, I have these two special game balls, one for each team. Two NBA champs squaring off. Son of a nutcracker. Classic, like leaving cookies for Santa. Can you guess which ones Jason Tatum made? They the ones without chips. Sixers Heat? Already got my hair did. What's all that racket? What the? What's that, Luca? We saved the best for last. Luca versus KD and Booker? It's time to get festive, y'all.
A Christmas Day gift.
So to all my Jingle Ballers, here's some special Christmas magic just for you.
Oh, it does not get better. Santa Perk is ready to go. The hoop starts at 11. I miss you, big fella. It is great to see you. And with the hat on, this morning you're going to be handing out some gifts. So let's start with Joel Embiid, who unfortunately won't be playing tonight because he hurt the ankle. But what is your Christmas gift, your Christmas wish for Joel Embiid?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas to you, Greeny, but look, we're talking about Joel Embiid, who is right now the front runner for the MVP. You know what my wish is for Joel Embiid? Can we get this version in the postseason? I need him to be healthy, Greeny. He hasn't been healthy in the last two postseasons. That's my wish for Joel Embiid, to stay healthy.
How about your old teammate Kevin Durant? What is your Christmas wish for him?
He, you know what, is to have his other troops on the floor with him. And I'm talking about Booker, Bill, together. We haven't seen the big three yet, Greeny. I believe it's only been for one quarter. We want to see this high-powered offense. We want to see these three efficient scores take the floor together. That is my wish for KD. He has had bad luck.
He has to a large degree. And then how about the man you consider the GOAT? What is your Christmas wish for LeBron James?
He need a third star, Greeny, and I'm looking at Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine come in and help around the perimeter, being able to put up 20 consistently, being able to be another playmaker. That's what the Lakers are lacking. D'Angelo Russell is not getting it done. They need help taking the pressure off of LeBron James and Anthony Davis for the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron had to go for 40 the other night, Greeny, in order for the Lakers to win a basketball game in a regular season because they've been in the slump.
Yeah, look, 3 weeks ago, we were all excited. They win the in-season tournament. They look like they really have it going. They have been slumping since then. Do you feel that this Laker team – so you're telling me if they don't make a move of consequence between now and the trade deadline, they are not a title contender?
Granny, this is the thing. When you think about the in-season tournament, it was a beautiful thing. Shout out to Adam Silver, the best commissioner in sports, in my opinion. But it was fool's gold. They had the easiest pool, and then they beat the Pelicans and the Pacers to go on and win it. But this team is not good, and they don't have enough to compete in the tough Western Conference. If you have elite guard play, if your guards are fast, you're going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a reason that Darvin Ham moved D'Angelo Russell to the bench the last game and went big, because he had no choice. He had to make an adjustment. He moved LeBron James back to the point guard position. And, I mean, listen, I know Father Time is not a thing for LeBron, but at the end of the day, the man is aging. And they got to get him a third star in there. As of right now, the roster that they have, it cannot compete in the Western Conference. And we know LeBron James got one thing and one thing only on his mind, and that's to win the NBA championship.
Absolutely. Tonight they will play another team with that on their mind on ABC at 5 Eastern time. We'll see them taking on the Celtics. I was at the Garden to see Milwaukee the other day. They looked awfully good. Are the Celtics, in your mind, the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Granny, you know I've been in my feelings, right? I've been in my feelings when they traded Marcus Smart. Yeah. But I got to admit, I was wrong. I don't see a team beating the Boston Celtics, not just in the Eastern Conference, but in the entire NBA. Mm. They are the favorites to win it all. When you talk about the elite guard play that they have around the perimeter, we know what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum is going to bring to the table. But when you add in a little sprinkle of Derrick White, along with some Jrue Holiday, along with some Peyton Pritchard off the bench, look, this team fires up a lot of three-point shots. But guess what? At the end of the day, there's no other team that has the personnel to match this offensive firepower that the Celtics have right now.
All right, if there is one thing I'm going to miss on this Christmas Day, it is watching the way Big Perk, Santa Perk, goes after that buffet. The last 2 years, they put a nice buffet out there. Big Perk, they got to have, you have your own buffet out there set up today at the LAPC? Do we have your own spot?
I hope so, because that's on my Christmas list, Greeny. Groceries. Get the groceries up in there.
Merry Christmas, my good friend. We'll see you in a couple more minutes, actually. We'll have some more hoops with him a little later in our show. And then, again, 5 great games today, and here are the players who are going to be mic'd up. Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, Jamal Murray, Tatum, LeBron, Tyrese Maxey, Jimmy Butler, and Luka. Incredible in-game access today on ESPN and ABC. We get back to the football coming up next. The D in Big D stands for devastated. Certainly doesn't stand for defense. We'll explain why next. Get up on ESPN.